It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Kyle Madsen is still away. So we're going full house today. That's what we're going to call this. When we have Jesse and we have Joe in, we're going to call this full house because of Uncle Jesse and Uncle Joey from Full House.
I think that works.
You think that works?
Yeah.
I think it's possible Joe doesn't know what Full House is.
Joe, have you ever seen Full House? He's working the mic, guys. Don't worry.
Yes.
You've seen Full House?
No, hold on. You've seen, like, not the new Netflix version of Full House. You've seen, like, the static on the TV type of Full House.
I used to love Full House, actually.
All right.
Yeah.
No. It's called Fuller House.
Is that what it is? Fuller House?
Fuller House.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So maybe we'll just call this Fuller House.
That works.
If Kyle's here, we'll call it Fuller House.
Okay.
There it is. Welcome in, everybody. We've got a lot to get to today. The 49ers laid one of the biggest eggs ever.
Yeah, it made me look bad.
Yeah, it did. I think they intentionally just did that to make you look bad, Jesse. I think they did. They believed the press. They listened to our show. They thought it nothing but we're just going to walk all over these Vikings, and that's not what happened.
Yeah, I know.
Before we get to that, I got to talk fantasy football for a minute here.
Go ahead. And real quick, John Poles asked, is Joe younger than Jesse? Yes. Joe is actually, I think, a few years younger than me.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm 23. So.
Oh, yeah, he's like 5 years younger than me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's a young pup.
He is a young pup. Full House was on before he was born, I believe. So he's watching reruns on Nickelodeon at night or something. I don't know what's happening. Anyway, I got to talk fantasy football because, like, we drafted really well. Like, my son and I, Team Rolling with Mahomes, we drafted really well. And, you know, we had James Cook go for 27.5 points. CeeDee Lamb, 15.5 points. Trey McBride. We went with Trey McBride because Faraz Siddiqui told us to go with Trey McBride. He comes up with 12.7 points. We started Jordan Mason, who we drafted, who has 16.4 points. Jameson Williams goes for right below 10. Like, we even had our defensive players go nuts. We had Fred Warner, who had 16 points. We had Nick Bosa go for 8.25. Everything was set up, Jesse, for us to have the biggest week in fantasy.
And then
we lost to a guy with Alvin Kamara.
Shout out Alvin Kamara.
Single-handedly.
Renaissance, he's back. He's back.
What in the world is happening?
He's back.
What in the world is happening? So we're going to enter week three of the fantasy season, leading our league in total points. We've had two great weeks, and we're going to be 0-2.
Yeah, it's a tough life. That's always tough, too, when you're like, oh, yeah, looking around the league, oh, we scored so much. Everyone else just scored way less, but it's like, no, you're going to take this L anyways.
Yeah, no, it's horrible. Alvin Kamara put up 42 points against us. Calvin Ridley, almost 21. And then he has McPherson, the kicker, 14 points from his kicker. And then
that's the most frustrating thing is when the kicker goes off.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing?
And is it just me? Is the first 2 weeks like the weeks of the kicker?
That sounds fair because I feel like offenses are still trying to get in the flow. Probably not as many touchdowns scored and all that. So the kickers get to eat a bit.
Yeah, we've had a whole lot of field goals in the first 2 weeks of the season. And I think a lot of it is ineffective quarterback play and not being able to score in the red zone. But then I think on top of that, there's just a whole other layer of, like, there is a definite, like, kick.
These kickers are also just right down the middle, room to spare from about 55 yards now, too.
Yeah,
it's not so much like, if you're kicking from 44 yards, that's basically a gimme. 40 yards, that's basically a gimme at this point. Like, almost 50, it seems like, too.
Yeah, I feel like I don't typically, like, enjoy watching kickers kick, right? It's like, whatever. Mm-hmm. You turn away. You're hoping red zone doesn't actually show the field goal and you go to the next game.
Yeah. James doesn't love kickers.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, I think the Dallas Cowboys kicker is a cyborg.
Yeah, he does not miss. Brandon Arbery?
Yeah, he doesn't miss, but it's also like it's so controlled and he looks like he's literally like not a real human. I don't know what to say.
Maybe they got him out of like one of those Dallas, like, I don't know, because you know how high school football is in Dallas. Maybe they've just been growing, shaping this kid up to be ready for the Cowboys or something.
Maybe they've
just
been
like a farming system. Yeah, it's the farm system.
Honing a
farm
kicker.
System of kickers.
They took a young baby away from his parents when he was like...
It's like soccer, like how they did with Messi and stuff like that in Barcelona.
He's like 8 months old and they put him in a kicking
program. This is going to be the one right here.
We're going to have this guy as our kicker.
We got the Victor Wembanyama of kickers right here.
For the next 20 years, he will be our kicker.
Yeah.
And he will hit everything.
So far, it's worked.
Yeah, I honestly watch him kick and I think, man, that dude's a cyborg.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter what he's doing, all of a sudden it's
I'm telling you, it's literally, every time.
And it's like it's shot out of a cannon. It literally looks like the when they have the robot, the kicking leg robot.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. You're like, I think something's weird here. So
you think kickers are juicing or what's going on?
No, I think he's like a animatronic thing. I don't think he's real. Yeah. I think it's also possible that Jerry Jones is testing out like fake humans. Like,
we got some AI kickers or something going on?
AI kickers, or not even that, like cyborgs. So maybe in the near future, he can take his brain and put it into...
Or he could play quarterback and maybe take him to the Super Bowl or something.
A grand scheme of Jerry Jones to take over the world and to get his brain into a new body and so he can live forever.
It sounds crazy, but if there's anyone to ever do it, it'd be Jerry Jones.
It would be Jerry Jones. Yeah, and he probably like took some of the information from Al Davis. Al Davis handed down his notebook and said, "Hey Jerry, the technology just isn't here yet. I'm going to need you to take over."
Is there a story about Ted Williams in a frozen head?
Oh yeah, yeah. His son had him cryogenically frozen, and then that didn't work out well at all. Like bad things happened with.
That's vaguely all I know about it, just Ted Williams and the frozen head.
So there are people who have cryogenically frozen their heads for, I don't know, probably the last like 20 years.
I love a way to start a Monday, by the way.
Just a weird, we've gone totally random at this point. And yes, according, like I drew down in the chat says Austin Powers was frozen. He was cryogenically frozen, which of course... made it so he could not control the volume of his own voice. Let's get back on track. The 49ers lost to the Vikings 23-17. And they haven't beat the Vikings in Minnesota since what, like
1992.
Is that far?
Kenny read the stat Friday, I think it was 1992 was the last.
That's ridiculous. And I feel like this team walked in there and for whatever reason, they just thought they were going to win, and they just had to mail it in.
That's how the game came off to me. It's almost as if they figured, like, okay, at some point we're going to turn it up. Like, it's the Vikings. It's just, that was not, like, there's no sweeping proclamation to make up about the 49ers after that game other than they just didn't bring it, I don't think.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, if we go through some of the stats, so, like, Brock Purdy goes 28 of 36 for 319 yards and a touchdown. Mm. He throws an interception, and he has a fumble. If you told me he's going to go 28 for 36, and then he's going to have a running back go 20 carries for 100 yards, and then Fred Warner is going to put on one of the most incredible clinics that you're ever going to see. His new thing where he just punches the ball is one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
He's the new Peanut Tillman, guy from the Bears.
Yeah, he's just running and like punching at everybody, and it's wild. But then his interception was off the charts. You have all these moments where you thought, man, the 49ers were the best team. But they weren't.
Yeah, if you look at the box score, it's like, oh, Niners must have scored 30. And you look up, oh, no, they didn't.
Yeah, I thought it was like an epic failure on like so many different fronts that maybe they weren't like catastrophic and they weren't just like, that is the worst player I've ever seen or that you guys are just so horrible today. But the accumulation of poor play, whether it was from the offensive line, who I thought was absolutely like, it's like they didn't read the scouting report. And we literally
talked about it on Friday, James. Hey, Vikings have one of the highest blitz percentages in the league. Might want to do something about that.
That is exactly what. So whether it was coaching or it was just poor play, because there was plenty of poor play as well.
Mm.
I mean, Trent Williams got beat a couple of times. He allowed four pressures, and you said Colt McKivitz allowed six.
Yeah, I believe Kyle Madsen, our 1320, the insider's Kyle Madsen tweeted that out.
Of course.
Yes.
So that's great information from Kyle. You know, Trent Williams led up a sack. He also took the inside guy and allowed a guy to go around the outside and get to Purdy. Purdy still looked pretty comfortable.
He was fine.
He
was taking down a bunch, but it's just, like I said, they were just outplayed the entire time. It was like almost like sluggish, I feel like.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then the other thing is, like early in the game, I watched Purdy go up to the line and he starts checking down, right? You know, he's doing some sort of audible at the line. And the Vikings knew exactly what he was doing every single time.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized that maybe going up against Sam Darnold was going to be slightly more complicated than you thought.
Yeah, you always wonder how much, because I feel like that's always asked about too. Oh, so-and-so played with you guys last year. Is there anything he can know or any inside stuff? And it always gets kind of played down, but maybe like you said, some hair, like it was more prevalent, I guess.
Yeah, it's almost like he knew exactly what the sets were, and if they were going to audible out of that set, he had told them what exactly was coming.
Yeah.
And so you need to look for this or that. And I thought that, like, they did a really good job of being prepared for the 49ers, where I don't think the 49ers did all that good of a job preparing for the Vikings.
I'm with that right there. I think that's exactly what it was, because it's almost like they didn't play well at all. And then I think it was the fourth quarter. It might have been late there. I can't remember exactly. But when Fred Warner punches the ball out and Aaron Jones fumbles, it's like, all right, now they got it. Like, they're right there. It's there for the taking. And it's just, no, it didn't happen. Even Justin Jefferson, he left the game too. Earlier on in the game, you're like, okay, no Justin Jefferson, no Jordan Addison, Tyler Hawkinson's out for the first 4 weeks. They have no weapons here. It's all there for you. It's just they never took advantage. And maybe that's a credit to the Vikings, too. Sam Darnold did play well. I was killing him all week last week, but he made some throws.
No, he did. And you know what? Like, Fred Warner talked about it last week, how Sam Darnold can make all the throws.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us, like, when we're hearing Fred Warner say those words, we all thought it was lip service. Right? We just thought he was like, hey, look.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, like, look, he's just saying it because he's trying to be a good former teammate. He's trying to act like, hey, we're really locked into this game. And then I watched Fred Warner, and he was. He was 100% locked in.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the defensive backfield, especially up the middle, like the safeties, just like the 97-yard touchdown.
That's tough. Like, come on, boys. Don't let Justin Jefferson get in behind you.
Like, how is that even possible? Yeah. You have somebody pinned back. And you allow a 97-yard touchdown?
As soon as you see him take off, it's like, okay, yeah, we know exactly what's going on here.
Just, they took bad routes the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're a center fielder, that ball hits the wall and ricochets into right field.
Yeah, it's tough. I saw it on Twitter yesterday, the replay or whatever. It's like, oh yeah, the ref was keeping up with Justin Jefferson better than the 49ers secondary was on that play.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good. And then late in the game, that's what I felt like too. They kept getting it to third and long,
mm-hmm.
and then giving up, like, inexcusable bad plays.
Yeah.
The play where Jalen Naylor caught the pass, which again, an absolutely brilliant throw by Sam Darnold. He threw the ball to his back hip and he fell backwards and caught the ball. But again, it was a long third down, and all you had to do is get him off the field and you got a chance to go win the game, and you couldn't get off the field. And so I just thought it was as a collective, it was a very, very poor performance by everyone.
I think that was a wake-up call for them. I don't think it's like, oh, well, maybe the 49ers aren't, like, the top tier of, like, this top tier of a team in the NFC or whatever. Like, I don't think it's anything. We're going to make this big proclamation, like I said, but I think they got a little bit of a wake-up call here.
Yeah, but you shouldn't need a wake-up call in week two, man.
You shouldn't. You should need a wake-up call, too, when you've been, like, near the Super Bowl or whatever, the last four seasons, five seasons, however you want to call it. But, I mean, sometimes this happens in the NFL. And also, like we said, maybe give credit to the Vikings, too. Ramsey threw it in. They got a solid defense. Brian Flores has done well with them. Sam Darnold, maybe he figured it out. Maybe.
It's possible. No, it's totally possible. So, a very disappointing game overall. We'll get into it a little bit later, too, with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then we'll also, like, sort of go back and look at some of our keys and see how bad we were sort of calling out the keys. I also, before we move away, though, there were two of the worst special teams plays in the history of the NFL that I saw in the first quarter of this game.
It was a little tough. One of them made me chuckle a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, they were both, like, what are you doing moments,
mm-hmm.
right? So the first one, we had Dallas Turner, number 15 for the Vikings. He's a rookie linebacker. He catches a punt at, like, the one-yard line, and then just starts, like talking trash and just walks into the end zone with the ball. And then, like, oh, no, what am I doing? And tries to throw the ball back. Like, that was one of the stupidest plays I've ever seen on a football field.
Sometimes it happens, you know? You're in the NFL, brights are light, like, huh, wow, wait, nope, there's people coming here. What am I supposed to do?
Well, there was like, oh, look what I did. Look what I did. Oh, I caught the ball at the one. And then you walk right into the end zone.
Yeah.
It was one of, like, just moronic play.
Yeah.
And then
this one was hilarious. I'm not
gonna lie. 49ers, I love Mitch Wisniewski.
Mitch, don't call me Cam Newton, Wisniewski.
Which, yeah. He gets his punt blocked. And then he literally just stood there.
Die for the football, Mitch. Maybe die for the football.
Even if you're not going to die for the football, at least go over and put your hand on the guy.
Well, it looked like, too, because you could see, it almost like looked like you could see a thought process play out, like, in real time. Because it's like, oh, punt got blocked. Ball's down. Let me look. Wait. There's about 5 300-pound Vikings here. What do I do? Maybe they get it. See you, fellas. And then they take off.
He just was like, oh, oh, no. Oh,
Yeah.
Oh man, you got away.
Kyle, they're gone.
Oh,
Kyle, they're gone.
They got away. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like if like there's like a bank robbery and you're just like, hey, oh.
At that point, just grab your calf, start running to the sideline. Yeah, couldn't chase after.
That's
coach,
what I was waiting for, right? Like the defensive back play. We see that all the time. Oh, PI owning. Oh, he's not getting.
I think it was like Deion Sanders, famous for that, doing that one time.
Yeah, I think he's hurt. He's not getting up. It's like no. His pride's hurt.
Yeah.
He's trying to sit there and collect his pride, which is like laying there on the field. I thought.
It's like if you're with Mitch, because talking through it now, did the Vikings, like, did someone dive on the ball first?
Yes.
Mitch, give him a little tap.
Just tap
him. Down. Yeah, just give him a little tap, man. What are you doing?
Just tap him.
Like, that's all you got to do. You don't even like got to reach down. Just tap him with your foot.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just give him a little love tap.
Yeah, no, let him just take off after that.
Do something, Jesse. Do something. That's it. Like, yeah, do something. Don't just, like, just dive on the pile. Like, oh, tag.
Yeah.
Yeah, just stunning. So I thought they were bad. I don't think the Niners were bad offensively. I think they couldn't string it together.
Mm-hmm.
I think the special teams play was not good.
Yeah.
And they even had the fumble late, which they were lucky enough to get back. But then on top of that, I thought the defense, when the defense needed a play and Fred Warner wasn't able to come up with it, nobody else was.
Yeah, it's just they never took advantage of their opportunities at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, I think it's a wake-up call. I don't think it's this whole thing. And shout out, Norm. Do you think Mitch Wisnowski is the alligator arm guy when the check comes at dinner?
Yeah.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah. I think he probably is.
Yeah. He is the punter as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah.
Okay. I got next time. Yeah.
Damn it, Mitch.
Oh, Mitch. Not good. Not good at all.
Yeah.
I would say the one guy that really impressed me, and I know like there is this narrative that that Jordan Mason, you know, you don't need Christian McCaffrey. This team needs Christian McCaffrey 100%. Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong.
I mean, for the sake of, like you said, Minnesota knew what checkdowns were coming or whatever, but it'd be a lot nicer if I could check it down to Christian McCaffrey and let him make a play rather than whoever else.
Well, that's the problem. It's that Mason isn't considered a threat as a runner. Mm-hmm. So you've got to go to Juszczyk more, which means then you have two back sets more often. And I thought, again, Juszczyk is great at coming out of the backfield and catching balls, but it's just different when a guy can do both.
Yeah.
Right? So you have the fear of the run or the fear of the pass.
It's different when you have the best playmaker in the NFL out there with you.
Yeah. So Mason ends up with 20 carries, 400 yards, and a touchdown. The first 2 weeks of the season, what's he up to? 247 yards. I think he's just been absolutely spectacular. And adding on to that, I thought he picked up the blitz about as well as you could expect for a dude who may or may not know everything that's going on mm-hmm. at all times. Like, he's been there a couple of years, so he should know. But I think that anytime you replace your star running back with somebody, you worry that that's going to fail, that he's not going to pick up the big blitz.
Yeah.
And I thought he was absolutely tremendous. He did it last week, too. But in this game, I thought there were multiple times where it was like, oh, look at him step in and pick up a blitz. Except for some of the – he wasn't in on a couple of the plays where they actually – got away with the
blitz. Yeah, because you mentioned he's been in the Niners for a couple of years. It's a lot different doing it in practice, getting reps or whatever, compared to, oh, yeah, we're out here in the field against the Minnesota Vikings and all that. I think Kyle, too, shout out Kyle Madsen, tweeted out. He has 48 carries already this season. I think the most ever he's had in a season is 42.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, so the dude is out here just, like Kyle, I said, this is his first shot out here, basically.
Kyle's just out there tweeting out.
Yeah, live from It's a Small World at Disneyland.
Yeah, just like doing all kinds of tweeting from during
Kyle Madsen tweeting fun office. Facts from Dumbo.
Exactly. Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Let's see. Outside of that, we do have like a shocking upset, right? The Oakland Raiders, I mean, not the Oakland, the Las Vegas Raiders, excuse me. They go to Baltimore and somehow come away with a 26-23 win over the Ravens.
We talked about it last week. It was kind of like, it's not looking too good, but if they were to do it, this is how. And that's kind of like the game was just, they kind of mucked it up for three quarters or whatever. Once the fourth quarter got here, it's like, all right, now let's take it. And they did. They literally took it at the very last second.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those moments where you're reminded that Minshew can go out and like somehow find a way. And that's where I think we're like at a certain point. I don't want to compare Gardner Minshew and Brock Purdy.
Mm.
But there is a moment where you feel like, huh, Minshew might have this.
Yeah.
And I don't really get the feeling, like, with the Niners that Brock hasn't developed that identity in him yet, where it's like, I can go get you this win. Just get me the ball back one more time, and I'll go get you this win.
Yeah.
And we just haven't seen enough of it, and it hasn't happened enough times. A lot of times the Niners are way up on people.
Yeah.
And then, like, coming from behind, it's not great. Like,
yeah, I think with Brock, it's just, like you said, you mentioned they're always ahead and stuff like that. We just haven't, I think he's done it before. It just doesn't happen so often just because they're always ahead, like you said.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. So Minshew goes 30 of 38 for 276 yards, a touchdown and an interception. I thought the brilliance of Minshew was he targeted Davante Adams nonstop. He had 9 catches for 110 yards and a touch. The other guy was Brock Bowers, who's becoming a big-time problem.
Yeah, he could be one of the best tight ends in the league, I think, at the end of the year.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say he's going to be better than Travis Kelce or anything like that, but top five, six best tight ends. Like, yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, I think top five, top six this year, and then next year you're probably looking in top three tight end.
He low-key looks like a wide receiver out there sometimes.
Yeah.
He's not a big guy. It doesn't seem.
Yeah, he's pretty spectacular. So Davante Adams had 12 targets. Brock Bowers had 9 targets. Mm-hmm. Brock Bowers caught all 9 of his targets for 98 yards. I thought that he fed his horses. Like, that, like, you know who you need to get the ball to, mm-hmm. and he actually got the ball to those guys, and I thought that that was one of the reasons why they were able to, like, shock the world.
Yeah, and then, like I said, the turn on the other side, the defense. The Raiders' defense is top five, I think, and they're gonna keep the Raiders in games. Just a matter of, okay, the guard mentioned the defense, and then the offense scored 20 today or something.
Yeah.
You're going to have to score probably between 20 to 24 points a game, and if you're doing that, the Raiders are going to be in a good spot.
I think so, too, and the way, so Max Crosby is just incredible, and then, you know, he had a sack late in that game. Did you see his sack late in the game?
Yeah, yeah.
And then Christian Wilkins runs up and jumps over him?
No, yeah. See, if you're a Raiders fan, Christian Wilkins does that. He's probably the most athletic defensive tackle in the league and all. He used to do that in Miami. Just don't jump over guys. Low-key kind of almost maybe ended Preston Williams' career doing that because it looked like Preston Williams got hurt after. But, yeah, he will jump over players and all that stuff.
I don't know that I've ever seen a man that big jump over.
No, he gets air, too. It's not like, oh, he barely got, like, he gets air.
No, he got his leg all the way up and over the top of Max Crosby.
Oh, yeah, that's his thing.
And Crosby was standing, upright. And
yeah, it's not like Max Crosby is Darren Sproles or anything like that.
No, Max Crosby, let's see. Max Crosby, he's 6'5".
Yeah.
And then put a helmet on that guy.
Get Christian Wilkins in the dunk contest.
He's like 6'7", with a helmet on, at least. And, like, you have to clear a giant helmet. Like, watching him leap over the top of him was stunning.
What's more impressive, Christian Wilkins jumping over Max Crosby or Nate Robinson jumping over Dwight?
Oh, I don't know, man. That's
a 6'5", 300-pounder jumping over another guy. I feel like that's tougher.
Yeah, it was almost like Vince Carter over Frederick Weiss.
Yeah.
That's
Frederick.
What,
oh, the tall guy.
Yeah, the Frenchman. That's, you know, Vince Carter, yeah, like, skied over the top of him. I mean, I don't want to give him that much credit because he doesn't dunk. But still watching
you
it on
see
the field,
vision, though. We can talk through it. We see the vision here.
Yeah, you're like stunned. Like, what in the world just happened there?
Oh, yeah. Shout out Christian Wilkins. He's a very good defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Extremely athletic.
Yeah, Wilkins.
As seen in the Raiders game.
Yeah, just absolutely spectacular. So I was super impressed with that. They got stops when they needed them,
mm-hmm.
Which the Niners didn't. And not only that, but outside of, like, the late run where I think that's where Lamar Jackson got most of his yards. I think the final run where he does, like, a flea flicker and then it gets all kinds of a mess on the last play, I think that was for 25 yards. So they were able to hold him before that, I believe, to four carries for only 20 yards.
They did well to contain him because I was watching that game, too. Like, Max Crosby was getting into the backfield the entire time, whether it was a sack or not. He was just getting there, and the defense was making it difficult for Lamar Jackson. He had a few errant throws throughout the game.
Yeah, and if you're going to somehow beat Lamar Jackson, it's you have to contain him and you have to make him into a passer.
Yep.
And, like, there are times where he can beat you as a passer, but overall, you know, he just didn't have it in this one. I did think it was interesting to see Mark Andrews sort of have, like, a bounce-back game. He goes for 4 for 51. Isaiah Likely went from, like, the bell of the ball. And,
yeah,
like,
shout-out to those who made that waiver claim and that didn't work out. I'm not going to say it happened to me, but shout-out to those who are out there.
Yeah, it may have happened to a few people.
Yeah.
they jumped all over that. And like we almost did, and then we're like, yeah, but it's just here likely. Like,
I picked him up because my other tight end was, I picked him because I was like, Hunter Henry, he's going to stink this week. Patriots quarterback, yeah, Hunter Henry breaks off for 100 yards this week.
Yeah, and he had some big ones, big catches. So, yeah, it's definitely a good week for him. I think it's interesting. I did not expect, I thought the Raiders had an outside shot. I wasn't just writing them off. Mm-hmm. But
there was a path to seeing, like, there was a path to the win. It's just, all right, well, it's going to have to go exactly this way because otherwise this is not going to work, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting to see they're that gritty team that you're not convinced is going to win any week, but you're also not going to write them off.
Yeah, you can't overlook them.
Yeah, they're not a team that you're going to take in a survivor pool very often because they're probably a 500 team, which means it's 50-50 or real close to it.
Yep.
They're an 8-9 or 9-8 team, it looks like. Which is way better than like the 6 wins that most people prognosticated them to do. And maybe they won't. Maybe I'm wrong. But if you're going to beat Baltimore in Baltimore, that's pretty tremendous.
No, yeah, especially like you said, going into Baltimore. It's not an easy place to play.
No.
And you just going from one extreme to the next, too. Looking how you did against the Chargers, it's like, all right, maybe we were kind of wrong. We gave them a little too much credit. But like this week, it's like, all right, now you see what it was and what we were talking about this offseason with them.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, we've got a ton of stuff coming up, but one of the things we do want to do today is to welcome in Elk Grove Kia as a sponsor of our phone chat line. Again, you're always welcome to call the Elk Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320. They're a 5-star rated dealership. Thanks again for Elk Grove Kia for coming on board and sponsoring ESPN 13.
1320.
ESPN 1320 call-in line. So big shout-out to them. And, of course, shout-out to our sponsor here, which is Jiffy Lube, which has always been tremendous and excellent. And we love our Jiffy Lube sponsorship here on the Insiders. We're going to step away for a minute. When we come back, we're going to do good, bad, and ugly from this 49ers game. But we're going to start off with some Kings news. There is a bit more Kings news that's sneaking out here. We've got training camp starting at the beginning of October. We'll probably have media day the last day of September, followed by training camp. And so basketball is looking like it's about 2 weeks away. So we're the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. He's Jesse Tapia, filling in for Kyle Madsen. We'll be back in just a minute. We're brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Thanks for tuning in.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia today. Kyle Madsen will be back with us tomorrow. He is still away, which is good for him. He needs to take a break before the start of basketball season and everything goes wild.
We had quite the day today. We talked frozen heads, 49ers losses, and Raiders wins.
That's right. And fantasy football debacles.
We had reality TV in the break. Don't miss out on the break, too. Hit us up on, go check us out on ESPN1320.com.
It's a great way to sort of enhance the viewing of the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. We are, of course, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. They are a sponsor. Make sure to go out to Jiffy Lube, visit one of their many locations in Sacramento, get your oil changed, do all that good stuff. Jesse, before we dive back into football, we do have like some interesting Kings news, right? The Kings have been doing something very interesting this summer, at least from past years. This is new. And they're bringing in veteran players to come in and work out with the group that's there. We're in mid-September, so most, if not all, of the players are here in Sacramento, typically. And you have a couple of scragglers that don't show up right now, especially, like, DeMar DeRozan is out, like, literally on the biggest book tour I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's on a world tour right now.
He is on a whirlwind book tour, and I know De'Aaron Fox was in China. I'm not sure if he's back yet, but there are a lot of players here in Sacramento that are working out, that are playing pickup games together. And I think it's interesting. The Kings have been bringing in free agents for a look, but like sort of having them be part of what's happening on the court, which is cool because it gives you like some fresh blood. It mixes things up. And then it maybe shows you a player that, you know, maybe you thought wouldn't fit with your system that maybe can fit with your system. So they started with Isaiah Thomas, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Michael Bradley, and there was one other, and I'm not going to be able to remember it for the life of me.
I can't think off the top of my head.
Lonnie Walker.
Yeah.
Right? And then we've heard like a couple of things here and there, and then last week we heard that Jay Crowder was going to come through Sacramento, but it looks like Jay Crowder might be coming through Sacramento this week. But also, we got Nasir Little and TJ Warren are going to come through Sacramento as well, and sort of these veteran tryouts. Little is intriguing to
me. Yeah, Little is the one that stands out in that trio for me.
Yeah, so Nasir Little, he was highly, highly thought of in Portland, and then he had a shoulder injury. It set him back. They thought they were going to build their roster around Nasir Little and Anfernee Simons, and it didn't happen. Nasir Little then was part of the trade for DeAndre Ayton, so he goes to the Suns. He plays last year with the Suns. And it just didn't work out at all. I'm not quite sure what happened, but for a player that, you know, should have been able to fit in and help that team, he wasn't able to get on the court at all. He played 45 games. He only averaged 10 minutes per game. So he played roughly like 458 minutes on the season, 3.4 points. He shot 30% from three, but that, again, is because it's hard to find a rhythm when you're barely playing. But also that team kind of needed a guy like Nasir Little. And so I've always been of the mindset of like, look, if a player goes somewhere, it's possible that the opportunity just isn't the right one for them. But it's also like when you're in the NBA, if you don't take advantage of opportunities, then you're going to be out of the league faster than you are like earning a long-term contract. This is a player who was on the books for a bunch of money. He had 3 years and I think $21 million, almost $22 million remaining on a deal. And the Suns bought him out and sent him packing so to free up some space. But still, he's the guy that I want to see. He's the guy that,
if it's between TJ Warren, Jay Crowder, and Nasir Little, and King's like, oh, yeah, we're going to bring one of you on or whatever. Nasir Little's the one I'd like to see.
Yeah, I would too. He's 6 foot, 6 foot four and a half without shoes, 6'6 with shoes, 7'1 wingspan. He plays the three and the four. He's the sort of long athletic, you know, combo forward that I think, you know, if you were to look at him and say, okay, you know, can you get him for a league minimum? And if you can, chances are you can at this point, especially with him already getting paid out by Phoenix, it would make a lot of sense to bring in a player like this who's young, have him compete with a Jalen McDaniels to see if you can, you know, sort of what you've got there. So I'm intrigued by him. As far as the other two, Jay Crowder brings a ton to the table as a veteran.
I'm looking at Jay Crowder right now. I feel like maybe he did a little bit more than I thought. Like, he only averaged 6 points or whatever, played 50 games. But like, if you needed a guy, like an end of the bench type guy or whatever, to come in and like, just we need 10 minutes, 13 minutes or whatever, I think Jay Crowder could probably help that still too.
Yeah,
I think I'd probably still lean Nasir Little, but I'm a little bit more on Jay Crowder than I was.
Okay, so if you're going to take a flyer on a player that has potential, who's only 24 years old and might develop, that would be Nasir Little.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're just looking for someone who might be your ninth or 10th man in your rotation and can come in and actually get physical, maybe can defend LeBron James for short stints, maybe he can defend Kevin Durant in short stints, I would think that he would make a lot of sense, Jay Crowder. Just because he's, you know, again, he's 33 years old. He's got, you know, he's got a lot of mileage. He's 34. Sorry.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of mileage. He's played over 800 games. He's played just a ton of basketball. But then there's TJ Warren. And for me, I'm just like, unfortunately for TJ Warren, I'm just totally out.
The worst part about TJ Warren is that when you bring up the name, we all think back to the bubble. That was like, what, four or five years ago at this point?
Something like that.
Yeah, so it's like, if that's the first thing that pops up still, like we haven't seen you play since, really, like, yeah, about on TJ Warren.
Yeah, he hasn't played like a major part of a season since the 2019-20 season. I mean, we're in the 24-25 season. That is so long ago. And so I don't know. I mean, it's sad, but at 31 years old, he really hasn't been able to stay on the court at all. He played four games, then he missed an entire season, and then he played 42, 26, 16, and 11. And it's just, well, no, 22, 42 was between two stops between Brooklyn and Phoenix, and then 11 games. like the idea of TJ Warren, like for me, he's always been sort of, he's the poor man's DeMar DeRozan, right? He's like the poor man's Michael Redd. Like he's a very good scorer, but like what else is there? And the answer is there's not a lot else besides that. And it's just a bummer because his career was kind of sidetracked by injuries, and I don't know that. But I don't think the Kings need to be the team that they get another look.
That's not what they need right now.
No, I would agree. If you're gonna go with someone, go with either the experienced guy or the guy with upside, not the guy coming off of injury. Because the reason that the Kings don't have a lot of games missed due to injury is because they don't have injury prone players, and that's just the facts of life.
What a concept.
Yeah, it's quite the concept, right? So is quite the concept is good, bad, and ugly. The good, the bad, and the ugly from the 49ers loss. The good. Jesse, what do you got for the good in this game?
I mean, we talked about it earlier. I guess Jordan Mason is the good right here. There wasn't... we'll start with Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason was the good. He backed up another performance from week one, had over 100 yards and all that. You look at him and kind of point. He was one of the few things you could look at and be like, all right, yeah, we got something here yesterday with him.
Okay, so I totally agree. I mean, anytime you can get a guy who averages 5 yards carry on 20 carries and gets you spot on 100 yards, who goes for 100 yards his first two...
Well, because you were worried, too. Like, you lose CMC, it's like, all right, like, hopefully we get some production here, but it's kind of like, all right, we're going to have to make up in other areas. But the fact that the guy's been back-to-back 100-yard games is like, all right, well, we're solid right there at least.
Yeah, and I think what you have to do is you have to get more creative with the other guys, right? And so you know now you have just, like, a pure runner. I hope that there's a way in which they can add him to the passing game somewhat, like figure it out, because we've seen him like get downhill and hit people. I kind of wonder what he would look like running in space and at people and whether they're going to want to hit him like as he's flying down the field. So I think he's just been tremendous. Like he fights for every yard. I think that he's a guy that, you know, like, I don't know if you're going to build your entire team around, but you certainly could see him going for 1,000 yards a couple of seasons if he was forced into
Kyle Shanahan's offensive system. Yeah, definitely. I could see that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, also, too, I think, like you mentioned, like you want to see him more and all that. I don't think he's going to go away this season. The way they've talked about Christian McCaffrey's injury and the way he's dealing with that tendonitis and his Achilles, I think Jordan Mason's going to be around all season.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too. Shanahan was asked about McCaffrey possibly needing surgery. And, like, the answer last week was no, no, no. And Shanahan kind of blew off the question this time. So I don't know if it's a possibility, but he's out a minimum of 4 weeks. So he's going to miss at least the first 5 weeks of the season. And that's pretty devastating.
Yeah.
I wish they had retroactive, but again, I don't know that McCaffrey's going to be ready anytime soon.
Yeah, just the way they, like you said, the way it feels like it's kind of like a day-to-day. Christian feels good. Christian doesn't feel good today. Like, we'll see what it is.
Yeah, and again, you have to be so cautious with the calf and with the Achilles.
Well, yeah, because he's got, at least you hope, a few more years of elite play and all that, so you're trying to preserve that if you're the 49ers still.
Yep, totally. On top of that, the other good, it was actually, I would say it was great. Like, Fred Warner is a surefire Hall of Famer and one of the most exciting players in the NFL to watch.
Yeah, he put him in a position to come back and win that game with when he forced the fumble. And he's just a playmaker on defense. That's what you call him right there. He's a playmaker, he's a game changer, whatever adjective you want to use, or a superlative or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, he is that.
No, he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, his interception, too, was just incredible.
Yeah.
Like, his read of that play was
He's the most complete linebacker in the game right now.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And, like, we're talking about a all-pro, like, future Hall of Famer. And he's doing it without Dre Greenlaw.
Yeah.
And that makes it tough because Greenlaw would add that element as well, just like a crazy hitter flying all over the field. And again, a guy with an Achilles injury. We don't know when he'll be back. But so I have Jordan Mason. I've got Fred Warner. And then I have Bosa. I thought Nick Bosa was much more effective in this game. He got to Darnold twice. He had a pair of sacks. I don't know what his total pressures or hits on the quarterback were. But for me, I thought he was at least relevant in this game, which is a good thing. They need him to be relevant.
Yeah, you need... Yeah, if you're going to... Well, that's the thing about the 49ers. What makes them is they're literally elite players. They're Hall of Famers. The Trent Williams doing what he does on the left tackle. Nick Bosa doing what he does. And we just talked about Fred Warner. Like, you need your guys, like, to carry you a bit. And Nick Bosa, I mean, it didn't lead to a win or whatever. But yeah, he definitely was solid for the 49ers with a couple sacks.
Yeah, yeah. So, the bad. Let's get to the bad. This is a, it's an interesting one because we could put this under ugly, but I don't think it was fully ugly. Purdy wasn't good enough. You know, and I don't want to say that he was horrible or anything else.
He was about average, maybe. It wasn't great. It wasn't necessarily bad. It was like, all right, like, but it just, like you said, it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough for what they needed on that day from him.
Yeah, when you're 28 of 36 for 319 yards, that should be good enough. Mm-hmm. But we also shouldn't be left wanting. I thought the pick was bad. You know, again, it was a tip ball. And then the second, they didn't call it an interception. They called it a fumble recovery, which was where the ball slipped out of his hand. I mean, that was such a crucial moment. And that's where you're waiting for him to rise up in a crucial moment and become that next level guy that, that has a series of wins in the fourth quarter. And he didn't. The ball flew up in the air and it was actually caught in the air, but it was a fumble recovery. He should have two picks.
Yeah.
And I mean, like for all intent and purpose, that was an interception. It was not a good play. And he wasn't able to lead his team to victory. And we can add all of these what ifs and, you know, you could have done this better. The offensive line could have been better. They could have schemed better to pick up the blitz. But the fourth down at the 2 yard line, just he didn't read it.
Uh-huh.
He threw it into a defender. Right, he had two fourth down plays leading up to that. The Juwan Jennings play was great, but then you went away from Juwan Jennings the rest of the game, and you really didn't find him again. Like maybe I missed something with Juwan Jennings, but I don't think the Niners have anyone on the injury list coming out of week two.
Yeah, I didn't see Juwan.
Yeah, and so for me, that was a big deal. Like you have big receivers in the red zone. Go to Juwan Jennings, go to Kittle. If you got to go to Debo or Ayuk, that's fine. But like they're great receivers. You have so many weapons, and to just not capitalize on I think it was fourth and two at the two.
Yeah.
That wasn't good enough. And so I was just left with a couple of moments in this game where it's like, okay, man, you have to figure this out because right now you haven't been the reason why they lose, but you need to be the reason why they win a few of these games, especially with McCaffrey out. So.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's like I said, he didn't do enough yesterday.
Yeah.
And they as a team didn't do enough, I'd say.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah.
The other bad, I thought they lacked focus from the start of the game.
I agree with that 1,000%.
I did not think, I mean, whether it was Mitch Wisnowski's like inability to literally just touch somebody while they're down, or, you know, the fact that they gave up the block punt. The fact that they missed two out of three fourth down conversions, like there were just little bits of things that were like, man, one little twist here, one little turn here.
They didn't play their A game at all. They probably didn't even play their B game. Like you said, it was there, but like you said, they just weren't focused. They just were sluggish. They just overlooked the Vikings, whatever you want to say.
Yeah. Okay, the other one I have under bad is Shanahan. I don't think he was great. And he went for fourth down, like I said, three times, which we've been pushing for him to do. Like, get out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Like, start going for it.
Yeah, I'm pro going for it on fourth down within your own 40 and farther down.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you're at the 40, yeah, I'm down to start going for it.
I am too, but I also thought the play calls within those weren't great.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, man, like, yeah, go for it on fourth down, but...
That's half the game.
Like, have a plan.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, failing a plan is planning to fail. Yeah.
Sounds right. I'm not going to fight you on that.
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't think that was great. I thought that early on they came out passing. And then when the Vikings got the ball, I thought their defensive line set the standard of who and what they were going to be that day. And they were going to punch you in the face. And you had the opportunity to do that in the first three downs. Hand the ball to Jordan Mason, go and set the line and get them on their heels and then start building off the passing game. And he did the reverse. And I get it. Like, I want to put the ball in Brock Purdy's hands and have him go win a game for sure. But I also thought that there were moments where, man, you got to establish something early in a game.
Well, yeah, you're the 49ers. You're a running football team first. Do what you do and establish that, then work from that and throw the ball and all that.
Yeah.
Just stick to... Like it was a weird game all around from Kyle Shanahan.
Yep.
They all just kind of got away from 49ers football.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get to the ugly in this game. I thought the offensive line was ugly.
Yeah, Trent Williams wasn't great either. It's not one of those where it's like, oh yeah, Trent Williams played great. The rest of the offensive line is a step up. Like, nobody was good.
Yeah, I didn't think that there was a game plan for the blitz, which is something that, like, you and I both talked about. You brought it to
the
table.
We warned them, James. We warned them.
Yes, that you got
Mr. Shanahan, they're going to blitz.
They're going to blitz. That's what they do.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, again, Purdy gets sacked six times, and he had, like, way too many pressures besides the sacks. And that's just, I don't know. Yeah, what are they hit him seven times. He was sacked six. You know, the 49ers had eight tackles for a loss. They were tackled eight times for a loss, including those six sacks. I just, like, it felt like the offensive line wasn't 100%. Although I did very much so appreciate the rushing, the 100-yard rusher again, because that's not easy. And in order to get a 100-yard rusher, someone's doing something right. Like, in order to get 5 yards a carry, they were doing something right. The other bads, I thought inability to get off the field late.
We got some news real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Panthers are benching Bryce Young already.
Really?
Yeah, benching Bryce Young. It's over. They're starting Andy Dalton this week. It's over.
Red Rocket.
Yeah, Bryce Young is done. Like, if you're benching him this early...
I think
unless you're just benching him and hoping he learned something, in the like,
what's he gonna learn? Is he gonna learn how to
play quarterback?
Gain 30 pounds?
That's a thing.
How to grow like 4 inches?
See over the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, he's just not good enough.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that
he was leading them to the first pick of the draft next year.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that if anything, you're probably getting out of that race.
Uh-huh.
I mean, which I'm not sure that I would have done.
ZZ Sickness in the chat says it's not even all his fault. Sure, it's not all his fault, but he shares some blame there too. He's not great.
Yeah.
If it wasn't all his fault, I don't think they'd be benching him in week three of the season.
Yeah, absolutely wild. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't expect Bryce Young to get benched this early.
They took Bryce Young over CJ Stroud, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Man, dude, he was so bad.
Yeah.
I like, watch some of that game. Just, like, the throws that he can't make.
Well, there's one where Adam Thielen breaks open over the middle or whatever, and Bryce Young just doesn't see him, and Thielen's just pissed off, walking to the sideline.
It's funny, though, because I thought week one, Kyler Murray looked the same. Like, all Kyler Murray kept doing is missing big throws and, like, not seeing the guys and running around like a chicken with his head cut off. Like,
yeah.
Scurrying around the field everywhere. And then all of a sudden, Kyler Murray looked like,
back to normal.
My goodness, he was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he like set the table early and just destroyed this week. I like the deep ball to Marvin Harrison Jr. To start the game.
Yeah, I thought I was getting chatty house for a second. Sakarin DeBagley threw it out, and then I was like, there's no way they're benching him already. Because I thought their head coach, I think Dave Canales, said yesterday after the game, yeah, Bryce is still our quarterback. He's going to be our starter. But nope. Off to the bench you go, Bryce.
It's bad, man.
Yeah.
That's an early benching. And, you know, like, in order to get him, like, you did. That's, man.
You
that's...
gave up a lot. You gave up everything to get him, I believe. You gave up everything to the Chicago Bears.
Yeah. I mean, you took him number one overall.
Uh-huh.
And C.J. Stroud goes number two. Anthony Richardson goes number four. Like, that to me is absolutely crazy. That you have to, and like, in all honesty, you have to bail on him right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never, ever been one who thought that Andy Dalton was the answer to any question. But man, to have to go away from the number one overall pick in the draft from
just
last
this
year.
Early.
Yeah. Maybe he resets. I don't know. Yeah.
If I'm the Panthers, I guess if you have any hope in Bryce Young going forward, it's that, all right, sit for the rest of the season, learn something from Andy here, and hopefully by the time OTAs and all that stuff gets back next season, like, you'll look a little bit better, you'll understand more, and maybe you'll be ready to go by then.
Yes. David in the chat, Bryce is headed down the Zach Wilson road. That's a dark road right there.
Yeah.
That's not a good road.
I don't like driving down there. Turn on the high beams on that one.
That's not a good road to drive down.
Broncos quarterback Zach Wilson, I believe.
What's that?
I think Broncos quarterback Zach Wilson.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay, let's finish up our good, bad, and ugly. Ugly, inability to get off the third off the field late. They had third down and long multiple possessions, and Sam Darnold picked them apart, dude.
Yeah, hey, Sam, I'm sorry. If you're watching this, I apologize. I was wrong. I said a lot of mean things last week that I thought were true, but nah, you proved me wrong.
Yeah, he did.
He made throws.
See, this is what happens. You talk on the radio and people listen and they try to improve themselves or they get too big of a head. And next thing you know,
pat on the back by me too by admitting my mistake as well.
There it is. That's
pat on the back for admitting my faults.
Knowing is half the battle.
That's right.
Knowing is half the battle. I thought lastly, the defensive backfield wasn't good at all. This team needs Hufanga back so bad. Like the poor routes that the safeties took. Like again, you can't have that. The late third down catch by Naylor. Like, that can't happen in that situation.
And it's not as simple because it's football schemes and all that stuff, but you kind of know what's happening here. Like, you know they're going to take a shot here or whatever, and it's kind of like, they know the scenario at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, know the scenario. And, like, look, it's if Justin Jefferson is streaking down the field, you have to get behind him. You have to, like, you have to play for the no deep ball.
James. I know, you know, Joe in the studio knows, do not let Justin Jefferson get in behind the safeties.
No.
Especially when they're backed up at the goal line.
And is it just me or did Fred Warner not tell everybody that Sam Darnold can make all the throws? Like, if you didn't expect that he could throw the ball 50 yards in the air, 55 yards in the air, yeah, that dude can throw 50-something yards in the air. I mean, he can throw more than that. I mean, like, the only quarterback that couldn't really throw more than 50 yards in the air was, like, Neil O'Donnell. That's it.
Neil O'Donnell, the Steelers quarterback?
Yes. Like the old quarterback competitions.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could throw like 52 yards. And then you got guys stepping in to 70 yard bombs. And you're like, okay, man.
Yeah.
Like,
Michael
Vick could throw like 85 yards. Something crazy. But yeah, to have a situation like that, like, come on. You can't let the one guy that can beat you over the top, you let it happen. When that's like their only thing that they could do right there.
Literally.
That's just brutal.
Yeah, not a great day for the San Francisco 49ers.
It was not a great day for the San Francisco 49ers. All right. When we come back, we are going to look at our own accountability. What did we get right? What did we not get right in this Vikings and 49ers debacle? We'll reset our keys to victory for the 49ers and maybe there's some points in there where we went astray. Maybe not. Maybe we're just really good at this. I don't know. Where the
story I'm going to tell.
That's what you're going with?
Yeah.
All right. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm James Hamm. We're the Insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back for hour number two in just a minute.